Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. Thank you for the spirit of liberty. Thank you for liberation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the victory. The glory and the honor, the power, the majesty belongs to our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, from the foundation of the world, that means from the very beginning, we were all glorified, justified, perfected, and crowned with great majesty in God from the foundation of the world. So when you say foundation of the world, in this sense, it means before this world was. Before we entered into a dimension of forgetfulness. Because this world represents an entity of forgetfulness, where men have forgotten what God is, who God is. Jesus Christ made it clear that the world has not known you, Father, but I have known you, and I am not of this world. The world does not know God, and there is no point trying to just point out at people, but recognize that the world is simply an entity that is separate from God, from the reality of what God is. And this thing is in the minds of men. Jesus, as a man, experienced this thing called the world. He said that, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before this world was. That was the prayer of Jesus. Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before this world was. Now, he was talking of himself. Before he found himself as a man with that sensation that he has a life apart from God. If Jesus Christ did not experience separation from God, if Jesus did not experience what they call self, he wouldn't have grown down the cross when he was going to the cross. See, he wouldn't have travailed the way he travailed before going to the cross. When he said, if it was possible, let this cup pass over me, but nevertheless, let your will be done. He too experienced what it means, what this terminology means, the world. He experienced it in his humanity. So he says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you in you. As you, before I found myself in this lowly state of a mortal man, separate from God. The world means separation from God. Jesus Christ recognized that he had been glorified. He recognized his glory, his honor, his perfection in God before this foundation of the world. And his prayer was, Father, glorify me once more. Let me realize once more that perfection, that glory I had with you before I descended into this realm called the world. Praise God. Now, it was just recognition recognition and diligence that caused Jesus Christ to overcome. Praise God. He overcame this world. See it. If you look at the book of Revelation, it says, to him that overcomes, I will grant, you know, to sit with me on my throne. That's on my Father's throne. The way I overcame and sat on my Father's throne. Jesus Christ too overcame the world. Praise God. And that same faith has been imparted to us today to overcome this world. Praise God. The same God of glory that glorified us, honored us, perfected us from the foundation of the world does not change. So when God does one thing, he has done it forever, isn't it? So why do we suffer the things that we suffer? Why do we go through the things that we go through? We go through this thing that we go through simply because we have been enveloped in the darkness of this world. We'll be enveloped with, you know, a balm of lies. You see, you know those mummies in those days, mummies Egyptian era, you see them, they had those wrappers around them. Layers and layers and layers of cloth wrapped around them. See, all that represents the lie of the devil. See it. He has so wrapped us so well, so bound us that we lost all track of reality. When you are bound in that manner, you do not see, you do not hear. You are lost in a world of illusion, in darkness. When Jesus Christ called Lazarus out of the grave, when he called Lazarus to comfort Lazarus, the Bible says Lazarus was bound and he had a cloth over his face. Jesus Christ said, loosen him. All that represents the lie of the devil. It is the work of the devil, and he was revealed from heaven to destroy the work of the devil. See, it is the devil that tells you you are imperfect. It is the devil that tells you you are a sinner. It is the devil that tells you that God has left you. See, it is the devil that has subjected you to so much hardship. Some of the brethren out there in bondage to church systems, bondage to religion. They become slaves to houses of religion all over the world. See, do this and do this and do that, never coming to the knowledge of the truth, never. Never seeing that gate into God's kingdom. Why? Because they have been bound with the lies of the devil. But he was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. He's revealed to destroy the works of the devil and to give us access back into that glory. Access back into our glory. Access back into our perfection. Access back into the, you know, majesty that he has bestowed upon us. God never took it away from us. Praise God. The heartbeat of God is that all men be saved. All men be saved. And see it. All men come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. What is the truth? Christ is the truth. See, Christ represents your perfected state, your glorified state from the foundation of the world. See, that state where you are in the image and likeness of God, where you are the express perfection of God, seeing you, beholding you, touching you is touching God. Praise God. The Father's will is that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. See it. Come to the knowledge of the truth of your glory in God. That is the heartbeat of God. Praise God. Because the Lord did not make you sick. The Lord did not put a curse upon you. feet. The Lord did not, you know, try to put you through situations that cause you to suffer. That is not the Lord. Hallelujah. He wants you to know the truth. That is why he has sent the Son in the form of revelation. See, the Son comes to us in the form of revelation. Praise God. The Son came to Paul. See, while he was on the way to Damascus, the Son came to him. Did he see any physical Jesus? No. But it was imparted into him. The revelation of the Son was imparted into Paul, and that is why Paul even had a greater revelation of Jesus than the disciples. The disciples who saw a physical Jesus and touched him and all that, they did not have that much revelation as Paul had. So you see, when he said that the Son of God has come to destroy the works of the devil, or when he says that the Father has given us the Son, it is a revelation of the Son that counts. It is the impartation of that revelation of Christ that, you know, that counts. And it is that Son, revelation of the Son, the coming of the Son in us, the dominion of that revelation in us, that destroys the works of the devil. See, the work of the devil is to reduce you into a mere mortal, a slave of corruption. See, it is to trap you in a realm of fear and uncertainty. See, he causes you to believe that you are not among the beloved of God. You are a sinner and all that kind of stuff. That is the work of the devil. See, those who are under that, in that dimension, are under the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. And as long as you look at those laws and work as a man, bear it in mind that you can, in mind that you can never ever pass out from the realm of death into life. As long as you walk in the illusion of what the devil tells you you are, as long as you walk in the ignorance of what Christ is, hallelujah, you cannot have the liberation that you seek. The liberation comes by the impartation of Christ, the revelation of Christ. We must have the ability to perceive the revelation of Christ. Hallelujah. And if you can see Christ, you will recognize that that is the image of every man, every one of us. Hallelujah. It does not matter who he is, what kind of religion you think that you have, what kind of color that you think that you have, what kind of, you know, thing that you've gone through in this life, whether you've been into prostitution, whether you've been a drug pusher, whether you've been a drug addict, it does not matter what you think that you are. It does not change what God has done from the foundation of the world. Because he has glorified you, he has honored you, he has perfected you right from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. So nothing can change that. No situation can change that. Hallelujah. It is the revelation of Christ that gives us the victory over the world. We want to be overcomers. We must have the revelation of Christ rooted in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jude says we contend for the faith. Now, we contend for the faith of that thing that has already been delivered unto us. And what has been delivered unto us is the revelation of Christ. God is showing you the truth now. Now you must contend by casting down the works of the devil in your mind. All the opposing voices. You know, there are voices that try to oppose what God is giving you. Circumstances around you try to oppose what God is giving you. A physical condition might try to oppose what God has given you. But you must stand your ground. Hallelujah. Those who walk with God in reality are overcomers. They are men of war. Praise God. John, if you look at 1 John chapter 5, I see from verse 4. Who is he that overcometh the world? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I read from verse 4. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Our faith. See it? Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God? Praise God. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Hallelujah. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Praise God. Our faith. Believing that Christ is the Son of God. This is the victory that will cause us to overcome the world. The world is tribulation. The world is pain and sorrow. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ says, in the world you have nothing but what? Sorrow. You have nothing but what? Tribulation. But he has come to give us a victory over this world. And let me tell you, when God talks about victory, he means what? Victory. Total victory. 100% victory. Hallelujah. We're not just trying to come here to be philosophical or whatever. We're talking of 100% victory. Hallelujah. God is bringing the people where they come to realize the totality of his perfection that he's talking about. Hallelujah. Don't think that the Garden of Eden or the New Jerusalem is just some kind of thing that you think of and you just kind of walk by faith. Just like that. Brethren, it is real. Get it clear. It is real. There is a dimension. There is a realm of bliss. There is a realm of unspeakable joy, of laughter. It exists. It is there. You see it? It is there. It is real. Hallelujah. Some of us have seen this thing. I will testify. It is real. Praise God. There's a realm of laughter. A realm of joy unspeakable. Hallelujah. There's a dimension you enter into when you feel the Father's presence and you know his presence. Hallelujah. More than you ever think that it is. It is there. Hallelujah. And that faith that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, that faith that is imparted into us, is the faith that enables us to enter in and possess this possession. It is the faith that causes us to overcome this world. This world that has enveloped us in darkness. And caused us to believe that somehow God has left us. That is the world. Separation from God is the world. Apart from God is the world. When Adam transgressed, he descended into the world. Thorns and thistles. See, childbirth in pain, all those things is the world, pain and sorrow, sweat, fatigue. That is the world. Praise God. But God is giving us a way to return back now. Hallelujah. To overcome the world by that faith in Christ, the Son of God. He that is born of God overcometh the world. Do you know that you are born of God? Do you know that your true person is born of God? Do you know that you are the offspring of God? Hallelujah. Do you know that you came out of the womb of God? Do you know that you are the same substance with God? Do you know that you are the coming of the firstborn? Do you know that you are the image of the living God? Do you know? Better know it today. Hallelujah. Because this is what will give you the victory. Hallelujah. This is what will give you the victory to become an overcomer. Praise God. The revelation of Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. And if you know what the revelation of the Son of God is, you will know that you are the Son of God. You will know that Christ in you is the Son of God. Christ in you is the hope of glory. The revelation of Christ in you, the Son of God in you, the glorified one in you. Hallelujah. That is the glory. That is the hope of all creation. Every man must eventually come to that glory. Every man must eventually come to the knowledge of Christ to be saved. Hallelujah. So he has given us this thing. This is the victory that we have to become overcomers. Praise God. When you begin to understand the nature of Christ in you, your spiritual nature. See, some of us have eating disorders, sexual, inclinations, obsessions, lustful obsessions. See, bitterness, hate, jealousy, unforgiveness. All these things in us have got to do with the world. See, and that the world means absence from God. The world means a life absent from the reality of truth. You can only be jealous, you can only be bitter, you can be a gluttony, you can be a sex maniac only when you walk outside the revelation of the Son of God in you. Only when you walk outside the revelation of the light characteristics in you. If you can see yourself upon Mount Zion, glorified, perfected in God, the express image of God. See, you will know that you are not a sex maniac. You will know that you are not a thief. See, you will know that you are not, a person filled with bitterness and anger and jealousy. Is that faith? Is that revelation of your being born of God that will give you the victory? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you look through the Bible, all the messages to the churches, all the messages from heaven today, it's simply about getting you back into your glory in God. It's all about edifying you. The trumpets will sound. It's all about awakening you to your righteousness in Christ. Hallelujah. It's all about awakening you from the dead, from the realm of the dead, from the world, and causing you to recognize your true light attributes. Hallelujah. Praise God. And when you know these things, I tell you, you will see yourself walking in victory, free. Hallelujah. Free from the hurts and the pains and the lusts of this world. Hallelujah. When you don't have lust, there can be no sin. See it. Lust comes hand in hand with your mistaken identity of a carnal attitude, carnal being. So as long as you are terrestrial, as long as you think that you are human, as long as you think that you are absent from God, as long as you don't have a revelation of the Son of God in you, that is the only way lust can have a hold on you. And this lust breeds sin. See it? It causes you to covet against your neighbor, covet your neighbor's good, isn't it? See, it causes you to break the Ten Commandments, isn't it? If you look at it, if you study the Ten Commandments properly, you will notice that the Ten Commandments is something that is fulfilled only by the spiritual man. When you get back into the light, spontaneously you are in alignment with the Ten Commandments of God. The Ten Commandments are actually real, they are from God. See, but they are not meant to be obeyed, they are meant to be lived. The Ten Commandments you have to live it out. That's why it says that in the last days He will write the laws in your hearts so that you cannot sin against God. Praise God. When you put on the spiritual nature of Christ, when you walk as a light being, when you walk in the revelation of that one atop Mount Zion, that one that transfigured upon the mountain of transfiguration, that light being, when you walk in that revelation, spontaneously you fulfill the law of God. But as long as you are down there, remember Jesus Christ and the three disciples had to journey. I think it was 3 days journey. They had to journey 3 days up to that mountain. In what is termed the resurrection, they had to ascend up into that mountain. Your ascension is ascension from the earth, from the lower places of the earth. Because the natural man cannot in any way attain to the blessings of God. So Jesus Christ had to take his disciples with him. The same way he's holding your hand today, and saying, follow me, he's taking you up to that hill so that you can realize your glorified state, your perfect state. Hallelujah. Praise God. So this is what gives us the victory over the world that is perishing, languishing in their sins and transgression. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to the world. Whosoever believeth in him shall not what? Perish but have eternal life. See, this is the only thing that will give us the victory. Recognition of truth. Allowing the revelation of Christ to take a hold on you. This is the thing that will break the yokes, that will move the mountains in your life. Hallelujah. That will heal you of all your diseases. Praise God. Isn't that what the psalmist says? He healeth all my diseases, and my youth is renewed like that of an eagle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You begin to fly effortlessly in the skies like an eagle. Praise God. You know, it's good to listen all the time. The other day I was listening to a friend, a pastor friend, and he spoke of the eagle. He says the eagle goes to the peak of a mountain and he observes the winds as the wind flows. And suddenly he mounts up and flies high in the skies, high, far above all the other birds. And as it is flying, the other birds are down there struggling, flapping their wings. He just spreads out his wings. See, upon that high mountain, the eagle relies also on the winds. The winds, a pocket of wind under the wings, keeps the eagle balanced, gliding through the wind. It glides through the wind. Let the wind do the work. Hallelujah. When you come to that realm, it's a realm of where you live effortlessly. Your fatigue ceases. Hallelujah. Praise God. The eagle is the strength of the awoken mind. Our minds are like the eagle. Those that wait on the Lord shall mount up with the wings of eagle. See, hallelujah. You shall be lifted up from the lower places of the earth, high up above all principalities and powers. Hallelujah. In Christ. Now, these things have been done. These things have been accomplished through Christ, through the cross. But the brethren still have to lay a hold of the reality of what Christ has done. See, you cannot just sit back and say that Christ has done everything and just do whatever you want. You can't sit back and just say Christ has done everything, I can carry on just to do whatever I want. You're only deceiving yourself. Like James said, it will be like looking at yourself in a mirror and immediately you forget what you look like. And you just go out to do whatever you want. You are supposed to look at yourself in the mirror and maintain yourself the way you look. Isn't it? God expects that every man follows the leading of the Spirit back into that perfection of God. Hallelujah. Overcomers, we overcome in the name of the Lord. All the men of faith had to go through this process of overcoming. You see, even the father of our faith, we call it Abraham. See, this is one aspect of Abraham that many people have not read. Many people don't notice. Abraham too was a man of war. These men were aggressive men, eh? They were not just ordinary men, you know, lazy men, you know, who just lazy around. They had, you see, God had called Abraham, gave Abraham promises of greatness. See, but Abraham had to lay hold on that promise. Abraham had to contend. He was a man of faith. In fact, there was a place in the Bible says Abraham fought with four kings. Four kings that had defeated Sodom and had defeated other kings around them. See, these are kings that dominated the other kingdoms in their era. See, but in the name of the Lord, Abraham, a servant of God. Abraham, a warrior of God. Abraham, a general of God. Took his servants. Hallelujah. See, you know, this already shows how prosperous Abraham was. Of course, there's supernatural might there too. Spiritual might. Because for Abraham to have defeated four kings, only Abraham and his servants to have defeated four kings, it's just like me and my servants going to defeat four nations. Can you imagine that? But Abraham went there and defeated these four kings with his servants. Praise God. That is the dominion and the power bestowed in us, we who are sons of God, we who are called into a spiritual kingdom. See, we have to be overcomers. Hallelujah. When the Lord opened my eyes to look at that scripture very well, you know, these things, these scriptures, you look at them with ordinary eyes, you don't understand what God is saying. Because immediately after defeating these kings, on the way back, the Bible says that Abraham met with Melchizedek. He met with Melchizedek, the king of Salem. The Bible called him the priest of the Most High. See, Abraham bowed down, and Abraham gave him tithes. Abraham gave him a tenth of all he has. Praise God. And the Melchizedek blessed him. Let's quickly read that for those of us who don't know the scriptures. Hold on. Turn quickly to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 14. Abraham, the man of war. See, God is making us warriors, but most of us are not aware the kind of power that is invested in us. See it? He has deposited the totality of his power and his glory in us. But we must realize this great privilege which is in us. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 14, verse, we're just looking at the battle verse 14. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed the strange servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Hallelujah. And he divided himself against them. Now, who did he pursue? He pursued those kings that defeated Sodom and, you know, Gomorrah, and took his captive brother Lot captive. There were four kings. You see them in Genesis 14 verse 1. You see, they are the king of Shinar, the king of Elasa, the king of Elam, and the king of the nations. See, these were the kings that dominated over the nations around them in those days. So when Sodom and Gomorrah and all these nations tried to rebel against these kings, they waged war against them and they defeated them. They defeated Sodom and Gomorrah and Co. And Lot was taken captive. So Abraham now is going after these men of these kings as they retreated and went back home. Verse 15, yes. And he divided himself unto them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot. Hallelujah. Praise God. And his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him. And after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of the heavens and the earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies unto thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom and Gomorrah, let's stop there. Praise God. So we see something here. I want you to go back and read chapter 14 prayerfully with meditation, because there is great revelation there. Abraham overcame those kings, four kings. God gave him the victory over those four kings. Hallelujah. He had to overcome before this symbolic gesture of paying his tithes to Melchizedek. He first of all had to overcome. Now all these things are divinely ordered. God ordered all these things divinely, because today those kings that have to be defeated are all within us today. Amen. These are the four crown princes of hell. See, that walk in the four corners of the earth, in the four angles of our life, in our emotions, in our desires, in our will, hallelujah, in our minds. All these things have to be defeated by the word of truth. Praise God. We have to put these things under the subjection of what? Of Christ. Praise God. Today our warfare is a spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare whereby every member in us has to be subject to what? To Christ. The spiritual might which God is giving us today is to have the victory over the beast in us. Because those four angles in us come together to become a monster in us that is destroying a lot of us today. Praise God. So he has given us the power to become overcomers. First of all, we must overcome in us. Overcome all those high things that have been placed in us. Ideologies of men. Ideologies of this age. Religious beliefs about ourselves, about what God is, about what God's kingdom is, about what God's world is, about what the promise is. Religious beliefs of devil. Religious beliefs of procedures, of what you have to do and what you don't have to do. All these things have to be put under the subjection of what? Of Christ. Praise God. He has come to destroy the work of the devil in you. We have to have the victory over the beast. The beast raised his head in four heads. Those are those four kings you saw. Somebody said, "How do you know all this?" I tell you, look, I don't, you know, just speak what I don't know. These things came to me like a flash of revelation. I tell you the truth. Praise God. And the works of Abraham are the works that we all have to walk in these last days. You want to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? You have to align yourself with Christ. Align yourself with the power of God. Align yourself with the will of God, and let these kings in you be defeated. The book of Revelation talks about victory over the beast. Those who had the victory over the beast, they sang the song of Moses. Hallelujah. They sang the song of Moses upon a glass sea. Why did they sing the song of Moses? Moses too had to defeat the beast. Who was the beast in the time of Moses? Rahab is the term they called Egypt, Rahab. The psalm says that God has split the head of Rahab's in the sea. Arise, O right hand of God. That right hand of God that split the head of Rahab in the sea. Rahab is a term used for Egypt. Egypt and Pharaoh. That represents the forces of darkness. Praise God. And that thing starts off in you. That is the thing that tries to hide the glory that is in you. That is the thing that tries to hold you back from the perfection that is in God. It holds you back from the joy of your salvation. See, but Christ has descended in us to destroy the works of the devil. That right hand of God that worked for Abraham in that day, that worked for Moses in that day, that worked for David in the days of his battle. That right hand that worked for all those, like, you know when David defeated Goliath? You know, the Goliath represents the beast. He had six toes, six hands, six fingers. He was a giant. Praise God. But David overcame him. David defeated him. Praise God. And when David defeated him, that was what got victory for the Israelites over the Philistines, the bad guys of those days. They entered into their rest because of that victory. Why? Because David relied on the strength of the Lord. He overcame the beast. He overcame that figure that looked invisible, that, you know, looked as if impossible to overcome. They overcame it. Hallelujah. Some people say it is impossible to overcome death. It is impossible to overcome sickness. It is impossible to overcome certain things. I tell you, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. Praise God. That same power of God that worked with Abraham to defeat kings, that same power is working in us today to destroy every work of the devil in our lives. Hallelujah. See, and when that thing is accomplished, you have a perfect sacrifice, a perfect offering unto God. Because like the Bible says, when everything has been subject, put under subjection in us, we are presented unto God who is made all in all. Abraham paid his tithes. Now listen to what tithes here means, brethren. Listen, if you have ears, hear what tithes here means, tithes. Because a lot of people use these scriptures to blackmail people all over the world. Many brethren are in bondage all over the world when they read these scriptures. Pastors use these scriptures to put people under the bondage. You see, but you don't need to put people under bondage. Hallelujah. When Abraham paid a tenth of his tithes to Melchizedek, see, Melchizedek is an allegory of Christ, the high priest, because Christ is the high priest. What he was doing allegorically was presenting himself. I'm talking of the spiritual revelation here in what tithing is. God expects that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto what? Unto God. That is the tithe that is accepted before God. Bring your tithe to my house, and I shall bless you. Isn't that what Malachi says? Let's quickly turn to Malachi. I just want to deal with this subject briefly, because a lot of people read these scriptures and they are deceived. Malachi, turn quickly to the book of Malachi, that's the last book of chapter 3, Old Testament, yes, just before Matthew, I think, yes. Then Malachi chapter 3, I'll start from verse 8, because the pastors all over the world like these things. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out unto you a blessing that shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall the vine cast out fruit before the time. In the field, said the Lord of hosts, and nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts. Praise God. Now let's stop there. Some people are cursed in the world. Why are men cursed? Because they don't pay their tax. Now, bear in mind that God is not talking about taking a tenth of your salary to put into a coffer of a church. God is bigger than that. Now, if you want to limit yourself to that kind of doctrine, well, you better obey the whole law that you see in the book of Genesis, in the Old Testament. You better obey the old laws of Moses. Either you are for this law of Moses or you are for the law of Christ. See, we work in a new covenant. We talk about law of life in Christ Jesus. See, it's left for you. If you want to choose the law, well, you might as well obey all the laws of Moses from A to Z. Otherwise, you are just a hypocrite and a transgressor. Praise God. The laws of Moses, what counts in the laws of Moses is a revelation. Is the revelation of Christ in it, because the laws of Moses actually testify of Christ. They speak of Christ. I don't have time in this message now to talk about the laws of Moses, but one day we're going to open a series onto the laws of Moses, and we're going to see how everything in the laws of Moses, we are simply speaking about Christ. It's speaking about a life in Christ. Praise God. The offering that we are supposed to offer unto the Lord is ourselves. Are you listening? We are the Lord's. We are the tithes to be laid on God's altar. We belong to the Lord. We are the Lord. We are God's. Are you listening? In the days of old, when Jesus was once tempted by the scribes and Pharisees about paying his taxes, Jesus Christ bought a coin and showed them the coin and asked them whose face is on the coin, and you know they said Caesar's, because the face of Caesar was on the coin in those days. Jesus Christ told them, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Brethren, that there is a coin in you on which is inscribed the image of God. Are you listening? The image of God is inscribed on the inside of you. And God expects you to present yourself back to God. In the fall, we were taken out of the altar and we started to live a life of our own, separate from God. God wants us now to return back to God by presenting ourselves back to God. Hallelujah. Now you don't present any kind of thing back to God, eh? You don't present a carnal creature unto God, eh? You don't present a devil unto God. That is why he says that you must first of all put under subjection everything that under the feet of Christ, so that Christ becomes all in all. Then when that is done, God becomes God all in all. Praise God. You must understand the will of God is that we allow the faith that is implanted in us overcome the lie of the devil in us, overcome the principalities and the powers in us, overcome by faith everything that is carnal in us. Hallelujah. This is possible. It is real. Hallelujah. That is why he has given you the power to become a warrior. He has given you the power to overcome. When Melchizedek blessed Abraham, he said, the God of the heavens and the earth has given you the victory. In likewise manner, God has given us what? The victory. The victory is already there. Believe it and walk in that victory. Hallelujah. That you are an overcomer. When you are an overcomer, no more walk in the carnality that men walk in. No more walk in the course of this age, but walk as a son of God. When this is done, and we present our tithes unto the Lord, the same way Abraham does this thing. He says that the windows of heaven will open, and there shall be no more place for blessings to keep those blessings that will keep flowing to you. Hallelujah. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Those devourer, what is the devourer? See, people don't know that they are subject to corruption. People don't know that the devil is licking their body. The serpent is licking their body, like, you know, when he says it's eat dust. They don't know that the serpent is feeding on them. See, they are food of the devil. They are subject to corruption. See, but those who obey the gospel and submit themselves to Christ, the devourer shall be no more. Therefore, he shall give you the power over death. There shall be no more death. No more sorrow, no more pain. You enter into a realm of perfection. You realize these things and it is real. No more sorrow, no more pain. And if thou will not allow the Holy One to see corruption. This is immortality and light he's talking about. He shall rebuke the devourer. No more death. And he says that you shall realize that life, that abundant life, that life without measure. Isn't that what he's saying? That there shall be no room for your blessings. He's talking about life abundant. Hallelujah. You shall explode. Hallelujah. In life. In joy. Hallelujah. Uncontainable joy. And glory and power. That is what God is speaking about here. He's not talking about giving one tenth of your salary to the coffers of a church. Praise God. Now, don't get me wrong. Because there are some brethren, ministers of God, sons of God, who have gone ahead. Don't be deceived. Now, when some of these brethren come around, those who live by faith unto the Lord, those, even though, you see, when these brethren come around you to minister to you, do they have to tell you to kind of use your common sense to bless them? Isn't it common sense to just bless a minister or somebody who has ministered to you in love? Isn't it just common sense that you use to bless the person without being told to? Praise God. Now, some people that who preach this gospel today, who have this message today, who have been going around this world, some of them, you see them struggling financially. Why? Because the brethren are not discerning in their heart that they ought to bless these men with finances. See, how can you call yourself a child of God who is sensitive to the Spirit and you see your brother in need and you do not minister to him? What kind of faith is that? See, brother, let us walk in the reality of this message that we are hearing. Let us walk in the reality of love and in wisdom. You see it? Don't hide under the cover of the liberty that the Lord is giving us to just do us anyhow as you want. Inasmuch as I am against, there's no such thing as tithe, the way the church presents it. All that is just the doctrine of man, is the deceit of men, and all that. You don't need to pay any tithe to nobody. So, but we need to minister to one another in love. You see, you need to minister to one another in love. Even if the Lord has blessed you, see, and you have the brethren who are giving you the spiritual blessing. Paul says that shouldn't you bless them also materially? It's common sense, you know. Praise God. So I just leave that as food for thought. Let this be for food for thought for some of us. We have to be wise. See, and let this message flow. Let the anointing flow. Let this love flow. See, let there be equality in the body of Christ. True love. See, because we don't walk after the course of this age. We walk in another dimension. Hallelujah. When we walk in Christ and we know what Christ is, I begin to realize that what I have is belongs to that brother and what that brother has is mine. For we are one. Hallelujah. All things are ours. Are you listening? All things are ours when we walk in Christ. Praise God. So let's go back before we deviate from the topic. Abraham had to overcome. He overcame and he paid his tithes. After overcoming, we talked of giving himself over to Christ, giving himself over to the Lord. See it. We all have to become overcomers. And what does the Bible say? Our faith causes us to overcome the world, overcome the opposing forces in us, overcome all the lies in us that cause us to doubt what God is telling us in this hour. Praise God. It is the power of God that causes us to overcome. Hallelujah. And when we overcome, we realize a new world of blessings. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Didn't he bless him? Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And let us tell you, when you overcome, this is the blessing that awaits you. But go to the book of Revelation chapter 21. We don't run up here. We've been talking about overcoming. Hallelujah. Overcoming. Revelation chapter 21. I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heavens and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now the sea, down there in the sea, is the world. The world is situated in the sea. You see, this is, John is seeing a new world coming into view. Now this is the world for the overcomer. It is the dimension of perfection and bliss for the overcomer. Those who are able to hear the voice of Christ. Those who are able to allow the revelation of Christ take a hold of them and to lead them back into their perfection. These ones discover these new heavens and new earth. Hallelujah. Now let's quickly go down to verse 4. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are what? Are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and what? Omega. The beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of the water of life freely. He that what overcometh shall inherit what? All things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Hallelujah. You are overcoming this world. You are overcoming the lie of the devil that tells you that you are anything other than that perfected Son of God, that glorified Son of God. Hallelujah. You have to overcome everything. And God has given us the instruments today to become overcomers, victors in Christ, winners in Christ. Hallelujah. Kings, priests in Christ. Hallelujah. Ruling and reigning in a new dispensation in God's kingdom. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more worries. Hallelujah. All those things are of the old, because we have overcome the lie of the devil. He has given us the victory. No more. The devourer is no more. All the kings of hell, the crown princes of hell, those four kings are destroyed in our lives. Everything, and we've had the victory over the beast. And we rule, and we rule, and we reign forever and forever and forever and forever and forever in Christ. Hallelujah, Father, we glorify you. Let this word go forth and break the yokes all over the world. Those who hear this message, let them be delivered by the power of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift up your people, hallelujah. Let the chains be broken. Let there be understanding and impartation of light. Hallelujah. Let your people comfort. Hallelujah. Let them comfort out of the abyss, the deep, and enter into this new dispensation in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you. Because the power to overcome rests with you. To you be all the glory. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.